So I want to read to you from John chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 19. And just so you know, if you're a Bible flipper, you may be flipping a little bit this morning. And if you're not a Bible flipper, I would encourage you to maybe become a Bible flipper this morning, because we're going to be a lot of places in God's Word. And what we're going to hear this morning and what we're going to learn and see is really, really, really important. John chapter 14, starting at verse 16. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Let's pray. Father, we want to learn from you this morning. We want to learn not only in our brains, but in our hearts. We thank you for your word, and we ask that we would receive it as your word. Not an opinion, not just another voice speaking into our life, but as the voice of God. We ask that your voice would rule over all other voices in our lives. Jesus, we thank you for your life and death. We acknowledge that we are dependent on you for salvation. And Lord, we thank you for these words. Finally, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence right here, right now, in this room. I ask you, Spirit, to speak through me. And I pray that you would open every heart and mind that hears my voice. We pray that you would stifle whatever is from me, and that your voice would be like a deafening roar of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to spend the next three Sundays looking at the Holy Spirit. And I have to start out by confessing that I have paid too little attention in my life to the Holy Spirit. And that I, as the pastor of this church, have paid too little attention to the Holy Spirit. And that I, in my messages, have probably talked too little about the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was reflecting yesterday about the fact that we have spent most of the last 16 months trying to figure out what God wants us to do at Thorn Creek Reformed Church. What does God want to do through Thorn Creek Reformed Church? We had a lot of discussions. One-on-one discussions between me and a lot of you we've talked at some point. Some of you have been talking to each other. There have been group conversations. There have been official conversations, unofficial conversations. There have been conversations in leadership over and over again. And we've been asking questions like, what kind of programs should we have? Now, that's important. But can we agree that sometimes God works without programs? That the Holy Spirit just does what the Holy Spirit does? On the other hand, can we agree that programs without the Holy Spirit are a waste of time? We've talked about what kind of music should we have? What kind of music should we play and all that kind of stuff? And yeah, that matters. But can we agree that there are churches that sing all kinds of different kinds of music that God works in, that the Holy Spirit is alive in? I mean, there are churches that sing nothing but hardcore rap. That's their main musical voice that God speaks through and in. So next week, starting next week, just kidding. There are churches that have almost entirely, like, not just country music, but like country western music. Well, yeah, there are churches like that that God works in. And can we agree that whatever music we have without the Holy Spirit, we've discussed how long should sermons be. Now, that's important. And I told Carl Faber this morning, I said, okay, I think I'm going to be done closer to on time. And by the way, those of you that come up to me and say, don't worry, yeah, you know, time doesn't matter. I want you to know you're enabling my dysfunction. So please don't say that. Well, maybe say it occasionally. But can we agree that God can work? I heard a story about a church in Latin America where the pastor got up one Sunday and said, I want to read from God's word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Let's pray. And God, that Sunday, began an incredible revival because people stared at each other and said, and they began talking and saying, how can I love you better? In that vein, love your, no, just kidding. You have to stay longer than that. On the other hand, there are churches, there's a church that I know of in Virginia that once a month, they gather for 6 hours of teaching and preaching. And God is using that. Can we agree that no matter what I say up here, if the Holy Spirit doesn't work, we're largely wasting time. We spend time talking about how to handle COVID, how to deal with issues like race and social justice and all of that kind of stuff. And that stuff's really important, but can we agree that without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be one? I have had the privilege in my life at times to be in settings where ridiculously different groups of people are together. Groups of people where you're like, there's no way in the world those people should love each other. I've never been there, but a lot of you know that there was a time in the not that distant past when in the nation of Rwanda, there was horrible ethnic cleansing. Literally, neighbors breaking into their neighbors' houses and slaughtering men and women and children. Tens of thousands of people killed. And now in Rwanda, those people, I mean, there are groups every Sunday morning praying together and worshiping together where this person killed this woman's whole family. She's the only one that survived. And she is now in a spiritual unity with the people that killed her family. Can we agree that that's got to be something supernatural? For the next 3 Sundays, we're going to back up the train. Now, not that we're going to stop dealing with that other stuff, But we're going to remind ourselves that if the Holy Spirit isn't at work, it's a waste of time. Even if we succeed, it's a waste of time. Right? I mean, I was reading a quote yesterday from, sometime this week, from a pastor who said, you know what? I was pastoring a church and we grew from like 100 people to 5,000 and we missed the Spirit. And even though we succeeded, we accomplished nothing because it was all human effort. He said, you get, you know, a charismatic speaker, some good musicians, the right situation. It's kind of a cool, hip, happening kind of setting. And you can get a whole lot of people to come to church without the Holy Spirit being involved at all. Isn't that true? If you've been walking with God for any time, you know that's true. We're going to spend the next three Sundays talking about the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to lay some groundwork. And the official title of this message is The Spirit-Filled Life. But I kind of want to amend that title. And maybe a better way to think about it is this morning, we're talking about being desperate for the Spirit. Next week, we're going to speak about Spirit-filled worship. Now, some of you already when I say that are like, yes, that'll be exciting. And some of you are like, I don't think I want to be here next Sunday. And then on November 28th, 3 weeks from now, or 2 weeks from now, we're going to speak about Spirit-filled ministry. What happens when a group of people allow the Spirit to work in them and through them, as individuals and as a church. I want to encourage you to make these three messages a priority, and these next three services a priority. If you can't be here in person, join us online. I want to say hi to those of you joining us online. I got an unsigned message this week from somebody who says, yeah, you don't know me. I live outside of Cincinnati. I've been worshiping with your church for the last few months, and I want to thank you. I'm like, okay. I would encourage you to tell other people and bring them this. If there's anybody you think might be interested in Thorn Creek Reformed Church or that just needs to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, I would encourage you to bring them or just, you know, send them a link to a message. If you know of anybody that's, let's be honest, thinking about leaving, maybe they've got 1 foot out the door, maybe they got 2 feet out the door, and the door is closing behind them, I would encourage you, I really believe, and I didn't officially talk to the elders about this, but if any of the elders disagree with this, then we should fire them as elders. The Holy Spirit, I mean, there are two things that the church has to be. Number one, the church has to be focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ from this book. That's absolutely crucial. But the other thing, as we will look at today, is that the church has to be living by the Spirit. That's the intent of Jesus. That's the intent from the beginning of creation, that life would flow from the Spirit. And, yeah. Why do I say this is so important? Well, first of all, because Jesus did. And, you know, we're clear that the gospel is the center from the Word of God. Well, think about the situation here as we begin to look at this passage. Jesus has just told his disciples, and they're kind of starting to get it, not really, that he's going to die, that he's going to go away. He says, I will be leaving. And he says, where I'm going, you cannot follow. And they are upset. They're arguing. They're questioning. They're wondering. They don't know what to do. And what's interesting is that Jesus' response is not, don't worry about it. You can set up the right organization to carry on my work. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know, you should have worship services and they should look like this. And that's how they should be. He doesn't say that. You know what he says in response to his disciples' question about what's going to happen now? He says, I will ask the Father and he will send you another advocate. Now, if you've been around the church for very long, you've heard another comforter. You've heard a counselor. You've heard a lot of different words, and we'll look at that word. But Jesus says this is the solution. In the absence of the physical body of Jesus. You ever thought that? You ever thought, man, it would be so cool to have been one of those disciples, to have Jesus right there in your group. I mean, you might have been in a good small group or a good Bible study at some point in your life. I mean, these 12 guys, their small group leader was Jesus. How awesome would that be? But Jesus says, and I would encourage you, read through like John 13 through 17. Over and over again. And Jesus says things like, it's good for you if I go away. It's better for you if I go away. So when we say, man, that would have been awesome, we would be wrong. Because he says, Holy Spirit's better. Francis Chan wrote a book called Forgotten God. And it's about the Holy Spirit. And his basic idea is that we have forgotten the Holy Spirit. And most of the book, I can't argue with. Maybe we've not forgotten the Holy Spirit, but we've kind of diminished the Holy Spirit to be like this vague sense of power. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit is just kind of this strength in my gut. Here's the question that Chan asked at the beginning of the book. If you grew up on a desert island with only the Bible, and you'd read your Bible and you got to know Jesus and you responded to the gospel based on the Bible, and your expectations for the Holy Spirit and what the church would be were totally based on the Bible, and then you got rescued from that desert island. You spent 30 years there, and everything that you understood about faith and the Christian life and the church was from this book, and then you went to the typical church. Chan says, I think most of us would go, wow, what Bible do you have? Because you would expect from the Bible that the lives of believers and the lives of the church would be completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. Because those early Christians did amazing things. Jesus says, you know what? With the Holy Spirit, you will do greater things. Now, we'll talk in 2 weeks about what that means. I think that's an easy thing to misunderstand. But, you know, one of the last things Jesus said on earth was, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit is going to guide you and teach you and give you truth and comfort you and empower you and fill you. And through the power of the Spirit, this little group is going to talk about the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And I'm not sure that that's what I expect from the Holy Spirit. Now, one other thing I want to say before we, I know this is like half a sermon of introduction, but I want to acknowledge we all have different, what I would call Holy Spirit backgrounds, right? Most of us here, we grew up in kind of a Reformed / Presbyterian / Suburban Baptist / Episcopal / Catholic kind of thing where the Holy Spirit wasn't really a big deal. How many of you would say you grew up in a church like that? Yeah, and in fact, I noticed that people in that category are like, I don't want to raise my hand any higher than this because they'll think I'm in the other group. But I want you to know that as we dig into this, if I really preach clearly the Word of God, this series will make you very uncomfortable at times. Sometimes we're scared of the Spirit. On the other hand, maybe you've been around churches that focus on kind of the miraculous side of the Holy Spirit. Like speaking in tongues and all kinds of crazy things happening. I heard one pastor talk about, you know, as soon as they started talking about the Holy Spirit, he said people started bringing things to church. Like one guy showed up with a shofar, which is that big Old Testament trumpet. And he was like, I'm going to blow this whenever the Holy Spirit's working. And the worship team was like, that's not in the key we're playing in. He says, there are people showing up with, you know, all kinds of crazy things and expectations. I want you to know that if that's what you think of the Holy Spirit, at some times in this series, you'll be disappointed. Because here's what's interesting. Less than 5% of what the Holy Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit are a reference to worship. Isn't that interesting? I mean, if somebody says, oh, I'm going to a Spirit-filled church, what do they usually mean by that? It's about the worship services, right? I have a guy that we've lost touch with now, but I began to be really close with 15 years ago, named Jose. Jose was the leader of a denomination that planted literally over 500 churches around Latin America. And he and his wife, Mary, had basically founded this group. And they were Pentecostal. I mean, their worship services were crazy fun and scary, and for some reason, Jose wanted me to go and preach with him all over Latin America, and I'm like, I'm not even Pentecostal. And he said to me, and this is a paraphrase, he said, don't you ever let anyone limit the Spirit to emotional worship. The Spirit is about lives, not worship services. In this passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's leaving, and they're confused. They're scared. And they're saying things like, he says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. And Peter says, where are you going? And Jesus says, where I'm going, you can't follow. You will follow later. Peter says, Lord, I want to follow you now. I want it now. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. You know the place where I'm going. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. In other words, over and over again, they're like, tell us more. Give us more. Give us what we need. Answer our questions over and over again. They're terrified. What will we do without Jesus? They're facing this terrible situation. And Jesus tells them that it's better for them if he leaves. See, they're desperate. The disciples are saying, Jesus, don't leave us. And if you leave us, let us go with you. We don't want to be in this situation. Jesus doesn't get rid of their desperation. He just gives them a focus for their desperation. I mean, these disciples, they'd grown up as Jewish, as nice Jewish boys. They'd learned about the Spirit. They knew that if you go back to Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So they knew there was a Spirit of God. And then in chapter 2, God creates man out of mud. And you know what it says? It says he breathed into him. And that breathe, what he breathed into them was the Spirit. And as he breathed the Spirit of God into them, they became alive. Now, one of the things that I want you to know, and I know I will blow this several times in the next few weeks. Notice that the Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is a person. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you. That sounds pretty personal. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him or knows him. The Holy Spirit is a what theologians call a person of the Trinity. Just like we can say, oh, Jesus walks with me. Actually, the Spirit of Jesus walks with us. The vast majority of the way the New Testament talks about God with us after Jesus ascends is that the Holy Spirit is with us. And yet, I think most of us, we mostly pray to God the Father or God the Son, which is okay. But I wonder sometimes if the Spirit says, I'm right here. You can talk to me. He basically tells them, whatever thing you're struggling with as a Christian right now, you can't solve it without the Holy Spirit. Let me give you 5 minutes to summarize that. Whatever you're struggling with as a Christian right now, you can't solve it without the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're like, man, I've been reading the Bible and it just doesn't, I don't find anything in the Bible. You know what? It's very clear that what we need is the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds. 1 Corinthians 2:14, John 14:26, Over and over again, it says, look, you can read the Bible, but it's the Spirit that enlivens our hearts and gives us the ability to really understand it and have our hearts changed. It's the Spirit that helps us to understand the gospel. One of the things that drove me crazy for so long as a youth pastor would be that there would be students, and we had large youth groups, and we'd have all these things, and I'd be telling them about Jesus and sharing the gospel, and then we'd go to some conference, we'd go to a Winterfest thing or a retreat, and some other speaker would explain the gospel, and like 15 or 20 kids would receive Christ, and I'd be like, that's awesome, guys. What was it that? Oh, we've never heard the gospel before. I'm like, wait, don't lay that on me. Come on. You know what they're saying? It's the Spirit that takes the Word of God and makes it alive. Reading the Bible without the Holy Spirit is kind of like driving your car without turning the ignition. Everything is possible in that car, but the Spirit turns it over. I mean, that word in verse 16, he will give you another advocate. Paraclete is the Greek word. It basically means helper / counselor / mentor / comforter. And he's saying that's where you're going to get the answer. I mean, I'm aware, I've been doing this long enough that I know I'm a pretty decent communicator overall, but I know that no matter how great a sermon I preach, if the Holy Spirit doesn't work in people's hearts, all the stuff that I teach is not going to make it out of the parking lot on Sunday morning. We need to be desperate for the Holy Spirit. Do you need somebody who's going to be with you no matter what? Because you realize that even your closest friends and family will sometimes let you down, and that eventually they will die and you'll be left alone. You know what? We need to be desperate for the Holy Spirit, because God is not going to do that. Men, do you ever feel like you're supposed to be able to handle everything that comes along? Because I'm a man. I'm supposed to be strong. You know what? The only way that you can handle everything that comes along is the Holy Spirit. Women, it's a really tough time to be a woman right now. They tell us that, oh, we're setting women free of all the stereotypes. But I read a quote this week in an interview where this woman says, you know, they tell us that we're supposed to be freed from all the stereotypes of classical beauty and women's roles and all that. But she said, as I look around and I read magazines and I turn on my TV, it sure does seem like what I'm supposed to live up to is Instagram photos of beautiful young women that have been photoshopped, and I'm supposed to look like Jennifer Aniston. No matter how she gets old, how old she gets, she's still Jennifer Aniston. And the only thing that can help you women to understand who you are and be set free from all that is the Holy Spirit changing your heart, changing your mind. Are you desperate for the Holy Spirit? Does anybody look around right now like me and you feel like it's hard to make sense of what's going on with politics and the pandemic and racism and climate and the church and the world? The Holy Spirit, it says, is the one, it's the Spirit of truth. In another verse in chapters 16, it says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. We're looking for media to give us truth. We're looking for politicians and celebrities and athletes. And now we have a new category of influencers. Have you noticed that? You know what an influencer is? An influencer is a person on social media who makes enough noise in creative ways that people decide, I'm going to listen to that person. It doesn't matter whether they have any knowledge, any experience, any wisdom. And we say, oh, we're going to let them shape our lives. Are you desperate for the Holy Spirit? Because none of those things will help. Are you frustrated with yourself? Do you ever feel like, man, I am not becoming more of what God wants me to be? Jesus says here, you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. And then later in Galatians 5, Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. In other words, he says, character is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit in our lives that gives us the potential to be new people. Are you desperate for the Holy Spirit? I got so mad at myself this week. I don't think I've ever been this angry preparing a message. And I was mad at me because I'm reading the Bible and I'm going, the Spirit speaking through the Word of God is the main thing that's supposed to help me to be the man that God calls me to be. And I have basically ignored the Spirit. Are you desperate for the Spirit? We at 9:15 now, we're gathering over here to pray. Not just to do a formal, official, oh, pray for the service, God, speak through my... Yeah, that's part of it. But what I want us to do is to ask for the Spirit to be alive. Now, I got to admit, as a pastor, that's helpful. Like, if the Spirit is here, my sermon, honestly, can be pretty weak and things are going to happen. If we aren't desperate for the Spirit, it doesn't matter what I do up here. Do you feel abandoned, alone? Verse 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What's he talking about? The Spirit. Are you desperate for the Spirit? I mean, desperate, desperate. Are you stressed by the fact that the world around you doesn't make sense? Well, verse 17 says, the world does not see him, does not know him. The Spirit is the answer, but it's also something that the world doesn't understand. And then verse 19 says, he says this, because I live, you also will live. He's talking about the Spirit. He's saying, if the Spirit is living in you. Now, I want you to understand, we'll talk more about this next week and the following week. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you have received Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. Period. Period. But the reality is, the Scripture talks about there's a difference between the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you and you living a Spirit-filled life. Sometimes I think the reason I don't know what to do is because the Holy Spirit is screaming and I'm spending my time going, la, 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 la. I have my plans. And the Spirit is saying, I'm not just telling you what to do. I'm empowering you. The good news is you don't have to beg. He's in you. The Holy Spirit, right now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is in you saying, I am here to give you everything you need. Not everything you want, but everything you need to live our lives, to live the life I've called you to. He has given Thorn Creek Reformed Church everything, everything we need in order to be effective and to be a kingdom force. In the book of Revelation, there's no temple. You know why there's no temple in the book of Revelation? Because God dwells in and among his people. And that will happen fully at the end of time. But it's already started to happen in you and in me. We're going to sing, after I pray, we're going to sing a song called Spirit of the Living God. And I don't think most of us probably know this. But it says a few things that I want you to listen carefully to yourself as you sing it. Spirit of the Living God, we want to hear your voice. You change us. You do what only you can do. And as we sing it, I want to challenge you to ask yourself this. Are you willing to cry out to God? Are you willing to give the Spirit free rein in your life? And say, God, it scares me to death, but I am desperate for the Spirit.